AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Check it out now. No doubt now.
Wednesday, March 20th, 2019, the Beating the Book podcast. It's Gil Alexander. Yeah, we had a podcast yesterday, but it don't stop during March Madness. Today, an American original, and more importantly for our purposes, an originator of his own handicapping, the great Alan Boston, on the entire first session, daytime that is, Thursday of the Big Dance, Alan Boston on today's Beating the Book. Enjoy.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander, broadcasting only on the Vegas Stats and Information Network.
He's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Analytics, statistics, and more are used to win wagers, and Gil has every number you need to cash your tickets. Now, live from the VSiN studios in the South Point Hotel and Casino, it's Gil Alexander.
It is a numbers game right here at VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, Sirius XM Channel 204, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo TV. It is Gil Alexander. New producer Jeff Parles is here. Good morning to you, Jeffrey.
Good morning, Gil. How are you today?
I am doing fabulous. Listen, first of all, thank you to the law firm of Stanko & Peterson for the great show yesterday, going through every single bracket, March Madness. Today, it simply does not get better than this. Hour number two, Bill Krakenberger will be here. So will Chris Felica, the Bear from ESPN's College Game Day. We will talk with him. Also a star, one of the stars of Daily Wager there, the daily gambling show over at ESPN. But first hour, thrilled to have him back, and I do mean that sincerely, thrilled to have him back, an American original, an originator of his own picks, maybe the greatest college basketball handicapper there is. He will be modest about that. I will say that he is. Alan Boston back on the show. Good morning to you, Alan.
Yeah, good morning.
Alan?
Great. That was a rather, it's rather high praise and likely not true, but I've been pretty consistent over the years, so we'll go with that. How's that?
I knew you'd be modest about it. Before we get to your pick,
I'm not being modest, I'm being honest.
Yeah. No,
as I'm always.
You are always honest.
Yeah, anyway.
Before we get to your picks here, Alan, which I think is what people are really excited about, I did want to get some reaction. They are. I want to get some.
Given the last couple of weeks, I wouldn't be. But anyway, yep. Go ahead. I'm going to let you talk.
Some reaction to the selection committee, because I have said this week on the air that it is a virtually impossible task for you to get folks together and put a bracket out that won't get complaints from anybody. There's going to be complaints no matter how you put this together. Would you agree that, generally speaking, the committee did a good job? And whether you agree with that or not, where could we quibble in this year's brackets?
I don't know. I really didn't look at the brackets, so it's just games to me. But here's the deal with the committee. Is they send a bunch of people who know nothing about sports into a room and try to decide who's in and who isn't, and who should play who and who shouldn't, and who's better than who. Meanwhile, there's something called KenPom that's been around for years. Now, back in the day when I was doing, you know, when I right after the odds came out and I became a little known, I said there's no reason why they shouldn't contact me, and I could send them my top 64 teams or whatever, and they could do what they want with it. There's ways of finding out who the best teams are without using all the horse shit that they use with quadrant one and quadrant two wins and all the rest of this nonsense that amounts to nothing. You want the best teams, and then whatever other factors you decide, you can tweak the best teams. Since KenPom has been around and is respected and his numbers are close to good, they're good enough, let's put it that way. They're better than anything the committee's going to do. Take his ratings, pick out, you know, after the automatic bids are given out, find the next X number of teams that you want, 1 to 40, let's say, and then look at what are the factors that you think are important, scheduling or road wins or whatever nonsense that means absolutely nothing that they want to look at, and put it together like that. At least you have a more accurate reflection of who should be in, because really you want close to the best teams in. I'm not so sure you always want entirely the best teams in, but you want close to the best teams in, and they have a very simple solution. They had Jeff Sagarin's ratings for years. They have the KenPom ratings, which are, like I said, wildly respected. And you don't need 3 days of horseshit behind closed doors where, in my opinion, they're just trying to, you know, construct ways to knock out the mid-majors and get their brethren along for a good ride. That I don't really think they care about who gets in and who doesn't. But anyway, that's it. They have a very simple solution. They choose not to use it. They choose to continue with all kinds of small talk that means nothing, and they ignore it most of the time anyway. I mean, when UCLA got in a few years ago, I think it was 4 years ago, they got in, and then they called that phony goaltending call when they were playing SMU, I believe. They said, why did UCLA get in? Well, the head of the committee said they passed the eye test. Well, of course, that was a new one, the eye test. That had nothing to do with any of the 17 parameters that they had written. So really, they kind of just do whatever the hell they want, and the reason that they don't have something simple like KenPom is because they want to do whatever the hell they want. And they want to do whatever the hell they want because this is a big business with a $1 billion in the television contract. And anytime it is big business, and I'm repeating myself, but it's fact, there is evil. And the evil spreads, and it's spreading all the way down to high school, you know, where they're recruiting kids when they're, you know, 9, 10, 11 years old. It's just, it's complete lunacy. But that's what big money does. It does it to our government, and it does it to big corporations, and it does it to the NCAA tournament, which used to be a very pure and very noble endeavor, and has become a complete sham, really. It's an event that can't be ruined. Get out of there!
That's,
I'm dog-sitting
that's
still.
That's Alan's dog, dog-sitting right there. That
interjected. No, they're not Alan's dogs. Believe me, they're not Alan's dogs. Yeah. Alan's dogs wouldn't do this shit.
Dog-sitting. Let me interject right here for a second, Alan, while the dogs have given me a moment to get in here. You tweeted this out, too, which I think is a good tweet, because for me, the fact that they got Belmont in there, I let a lot of other things slide. And here's the tweet that we had out here. If we could put that out on VSiN.com, the VSiN app at FuboTV. Let's credit this to who it was out, whoever I put it out there. But Alan tweeted as well, because I want to get the name and give credit where it's due. But what they did do right is, and I think you agree with this, is a team like Indiana, which had 15 chances at a quad one win, right? And it got six of those as wins, 6-9 overall quadrant one. They didn't hold that against Belmont, for instance, that they won only two, but only had four overall shots. At least they got that much right this year. Would you agree with that?
Yes. No, I think they did a better. I honestly think they did a better job this year. But like I said, they could do an even better job by just keeping it real simple. Here's the top 40 teams. These 32 teams are in. Here's the top 50 teams. Whatever you want to take, and you know we'll figure out what to do from there, because they have numbers that indicate who's better than who. Belmont should have been in anyway. They're really good. I mean, that, you know, anyone who think they're good wasn't watching that game very closely last night.
Yeah. Belmont 3.5 point dogs against Maryland, by the way, in round one. Let's give a quick Jeff, who's that tweet responsible? You can just say it on the mic. Who's that tweet from?
That was from Patrick Stevens at D1 Scores.
Okay, there we go. Don't want to let that slide. All right, Alan, so let's...
Yeah, it's kind of the same stuff I've said for a long time. They've always found ways to slant it towards the power schools, always.
Yeah.
Every single thing they look at helps the power schools because those are supposedly the schools that make the money for them. Those are the ones that play the games on U-boats and supposedly fans want to watch. And I mentioned this before, that the head of the whole network that carries this didn't want Loyola Chicago last year. He wanted Kentucky, claiming that the ratings are higher when Kentucky's on there. But a study showed there was a big long article on it that I read, and the guy compared Loyola Chicago games in their time slot on whatever station they were on, some of which are rather hard to find. And it turned out Loyola games were rated higher than the norm by a lot every time. So the idea that big name schools draw bigger ratings is, by this study, horseshit. In fact, it is Cinderella that is always talked about. It is Cinderella that draws the interest. It is Cinderella, who knew about Sister Jean? I did, because I read an article by Mark Ziegler when San Diego State played at Loyola during the season, and he poked fun at the whole thing. He's the best sports writer in the country now that Dick Girardi is retired. Mark Ziegler, who covers San Diego State, is brilliant and must be read. Anyway, that's what was talked about. When George Mason made the Final Four, that's all you heard about. Aaron Anger, who wasn't known very well, all of a sudden is a cult hero. And Gonzaga back in the day, that's all you heard about was Gonzaga. The Princeton-Georgetown game in 91, the 1-16 that went to the wire, that was the highest rated game ever on ESPN.
One of the greatest ever.
It's always the underdog that generates the interest in this event and makes it the amazing event it is. So this pretense that you want Duke versus North Carolina final or Duke versus Kansas final is a crock. And until these people get that through their heads, you're going to see some very, very corrupt backdoor meetings that go on. They did better this year, but did they get it right? Of course not, because you can just do better in a very simple way, and they choose not to. Especially in an era now where analytics and I don't know the term, so ignore me if I say something stupid, but they have numbers out there that are accurate and can be gotten very simply, and they choose to ignore it. And that's not what's happening in the world today. I choose to ignore it because I don't understand it, and I'm old. But they certainly, they're in college. They could find someone to explain it to them, you know? So that's it for that.
All right.
I will say, ironically, the one thing that I noticed immediately, and again, I didn't really look at the bracket because I don't pick a bracket. I just try to pick the winners of games. I did notice that two very dangerous mid-majors, Virginia Commonwealth and Central Florida, managed to find themselves in a first-round game.
Isn't that funny?
They're both defensive-minded, grinded out, just absolutely brutal to play against teams that you're just going to be completely fried at the end of this game. And they're playing each other in the first round. Now, what a big surprise that one of those is going to knock the other one out, and then the winner gets to play who? Duke, of course.
Of course.
So Duke gets the worn-out mid-major on short rest, and now they get to knock both those mid-majors out, who are actually pretty dangerous to the big-money schools. Again, I don't think that's coincidence. No effing way that's coincidence. Anyway, that's my one little...
Okay. Alan, let me step in here.
Like I said, I didn't really look at the drawing. If I did, I'm sure I could poke holes in it from here to eternity.
Let's do it like this.
And I don't know who wrote that book.
Let's take a break and let's get to your picks. We'll do it. We'll get as many in as we can. I don't know if you want to go through everyone in rapid fire, if we want to pick the ones that you like the best. Either way, we'll go region by region and we'll do it that way. Or we'll just do it game by game. And by the way, Alan is 100% right. That is what the beauty of March Madness is, right? It's the David Goliath and the Princeton-Georgetown game, by the way, Jeff, that he refers to. That was a 1989 game. It was a 16-1. Princeton lost to Georgetown 50-49. And this is the Alonzo Mourning, Dikembe Mutombo version of Georgetown in those years. I think Mutombo was still there, but Mourning ended up swatting away the final shot of that game, and that's how Georgetown preserved, because that would have been the first 116 upset of all time. But that
saved the Ivy's automatic bid, by the way.
That's right. That game saved the Ivy's.
They were going to eliminate the Ivy League school's automatic bid. That would not be very good right now, given how strong the Ivy League is. Anyway, I'll say no more.
Pete Carril with the backdoor plays for Princeton was just amazing that year. Follow Alan, by the way, on Twitter at BostonRed88. We will come back. We will do his picks here. First round NCAA tournament, the great Alan Boston on a numbers game right here at VSiN.
Now, back to a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander, broadcasting live from our VSiN studios in Las Vegas.
Let you know, Jeff, because that Princeton game sparked memories for me. 1985, 4 years before that. Now, this is the Patrick Ewing-led Georgetown juggernaut. Georgetown was national champions in 84, beat Houston and Olajuwon and Drexler that year. 85, Georgetown was just a Goliath. And before the tournament, now, keep in mind, I don't even know what betting lines are when I'm a kid here, but I made bets just innately, right? This is just how you grow up. I made bets innately with all my classmates. I grew up in D.C. I took Georgetown, gave them the field, and they would have to pay me 5-1. I'm sure I was getting the best of it at that point without even knowing that I was getting the best of it. And all went well until the championship game, and sure enough, Villanova, one of the three teams in the Final Four from the Big East that year. Villanova shot, I want to say, 79% from the field. It was either 79.2 or 78.2%, and beat Georgetown by a bucket, dashing all my hopes. It's a miserable day for me. Anyway, that's how I was as a child. Let's bring him in. So generous, once again, with his time, and we really do appreciate it.
On the map.
What's that? Say again?
It put a real not the greatest human, Raleigh Massimino, on the map. And number two.
Yes.
Bob Huggins talked about that game in a press conference. He said, and now West Virginia is a team that plays very fast. They like to press. They like to go up and down the court rapidly. But Bob Huggins said, so he wouldn't mind a 30-second clock, right? Yet Huggins spoke about that game with reverence. He said, to all these people who think we need some 30-second clock to make the game, you know, wonderful, to keep it high scoring or whatever, go back to that 1985 game and how many shots were taken in the second half. Not a lot, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you had one of the more riveting games of all time. A game that's you just brought up 34 years later, you know, as something really one of the best finals ever.
Ever.
Right. So this whole idea that you need to get up and down the floor and make this a glorified NBA minor league is really another bunch of horseshit that again, once again, favors the power schools, right? The more possessions, the better chance they have of winning the game.
Absolutely.
And it's really a sad commentary on the whole game of basketball. Like I said, big money causes evil. I've been saying it for probably 20 years. When I did shows out in Vegas 20 years ago, I started talking about all this, and it's gotten worse and worse and worse. Yes, they did a better job this year, but It's still a really, it's a pretty sad state of affairs.
Talking to Alan Boston,
and if they ever truly investigated what goes on, they would probably shut down the whole fiasco.
The star of The Odds, Chad Millman's book, The Best of It, that documentary, Alan Boston, the star of both of those things, just great, great, different multimedia. One a book, one a movie, and kind enough to join us on a numbers game here at VSiN this morning. Alan, let's just go to whichever game you want to. Let's do it that way. Let's start with some of your best. Go ahead.
Just pick at the top and go and give me the line, and I'll throw a few thoughts out if I have any.
Okay, let's do that.
That's better.
Let us start. Let's do it in chronological order starting tomorrow morning. Let's do it that way. Minnesota, there's a team. I don't know how they got in this tournament. Minnesota, Louisville, the patina.
That is a good question.
Yeah, Louisville by five in the 9:15 a.m. Pacific, 12:15 p.m. Eastern tip-off to kick off March Madness tomorrow morning.
Is it five or five and a half? I thought it was something. A couple. I think. No, Minnesota certainly doesn't belong in this tournament. They're probably the lowest rated team to get an at-large bid. Belmont would be favored over them, by the way. Actually, Temple was probably the lowest team to get in that got at-large. But, you know, I think that was an homage to Fran Dunphy, and I didn't mind that at all. He's one of the class acts of the sport. And, never mind he coached Penn for 17 years, but that's maybe a little biased. But, no, he's a really good coach and a really good guy and is – wildly respected down there, and they fired Phil Martelli yesterday at St. Joe's. Rather,
Ugh.
rather disgusting. So it was a really bad day for the Big Five, something I am very fond of. Louisville, with all the furor down there with Pitino and his parties for his recruits, got in a little bit of trouble, and they hire Chris Mack. Chris Mack is an unbelievable basketball coach. The talent at Louisville this year is marginal at best. It is nothing close to what Louisville typically gets. Yet Chris Mack has created a team that plays to a very high level. They had Duke 23 down before they played not to lose and lost. They had Florida State beat at Florida State. They have a myriad of monster games that they've played. Yet the talent really isn't that great. Minnesota had high hopes for this year and probably about played to the level they typically play to. So nothing great or nothing bad about what they did during the year. So what happens here? I think the line is slightly high, but more importantly, does Chris Mack's wizardry continue to allow this team to play to this really bloated level, given the talent they have? And typically in an NCAA tournament game, a better way to look at this is kind of a sort of like a Virginia or a Purdue kind of thing where, you know, they've reached their maximum level and the only way they can go is down. And I would say that you know, Richard Pitino's no dope. He's probably a better coach than his dad for sure. My thinking is that Louisville probably, even if they play to their level, they're going to have a tough time covering this number, but it's more likely they flatten out and kind of play more to the talent level, given the importance of these games and how much is put into it, you know, how much scouting's done and everything. So I would definitely have a strong lean to the underdog here. I didn't bet it, but I probably should. It kind of feels like it should be their game.
Strong.
I mean, if this game was played at the beginning of the year, Minnesota would have been favored. That's how good a job Chris Mack has done. But again, you know, teams kind of seek their level, and his Xavier team's always overachieved during the year and kind of crashed out during the tournament for the similar reason that he just gets so much out of these teams that they only have one place to go but down, you know. And so that's my quick thought there. Next.
All right, strong lean to
definitely
the
lean to the dog. You know what? I might bet them.
Okay. All right.
That's why it's good to talk sometimes.
It is good.
If it makes any sense.
It is good. A little multitasking here while we're doing the talk. All right. So let me give you a group of four games here that follow that, and you can gravitate towards the one or two that you want to. Yale LSU. LSU favored by 7.5 against the Ivy League champ Yale Bulldogs. Auburn's got New Mexico State. I'll leave it at those two, and you can go at those. Auburn is a 5.5-point favorite right now over the Aggies, who 30-win team this year, only lost four.
I bet Yale. I think the line is seriously. I think we took 8.5. The line is pretty pumped up there. Given this is not your typical Ivy League, you know, a bunch of smart guys who you know, run beautiful offense. This is a Yale team with a pro in Oney and a fringe pro, and an unbelievable coach, and a team that's deep and experienced and did not get a great draw. LSU had a home run year, a young team that flourished and played to a high level the entire season, winning in Kentucky, as I recall, not an easy task, really winning a lot of big games. They led Houston by 17 early in the year, and how good does that look now? So this is a very, very good LSU team. However, it is kind of a young LSU team, and their coach Wade is suspended, and the guy taking over is the old North Texas coach. I forget his name, but he's not a very good coach. So in the X and O's department, as the game goes on, Yale has a huge advantage. The main concern for Yale is, yes, it is an improved Ivy League squad. Yes, they have a pro in the team and maybe even two. But still, the talent gap is pretty enormous because LSU has, you know, four and five star. Well, I don't know if they have any. I don't know who, but they have strong recruits down there. Let's put it that way. They're playing an Ivy League team. You know, it's a football, basketball breeding ground versus an academic legendary school. So you're going to have a pretty, pretty big talent gap there. Now, can the coaching overcome that? I say yes, and I say the talent gap maybe isn't as big as it may seem,
Also, LSU relies on several freshmen, and freshmen have a tendency to hit a wall at the end of the year. And LSU losing that game to Florida in the SEC tournament, although probably will work in their favor as it gives them a couple more days off, maybe a sign that they're flattening out a little bit. Tony Benton, I think that's the guy's name, was the coach. So I think Yale has a hell of a chance to win this game. As for Auburn, New Mexico State, you know, the obvious is, it's Chris Jans versus Bruce Pearl. So let's go New Mexico State. How the hell are they going to lose this game? Auburn completely embarrassed themselves last year in the tournament. I have no idea what transpired going into that game, but it looked like they didn't care. I actually probably would have fired Pearl right after that game. That was ridiculous. It was a complete non-effort. It's almost like they dumped. So is that what happens again this year, or do they take that as fuel to show the world, hey, you know, we're better than that? In New Mexico State, they get a team that tends to play fast. In fact, almost always plays fast. That's what Auburn revels in. The athletic gap is ginormous. So even though Auburn prone to taking bad shot after bad shot and playing rather moron ball against a team that does nothing wrong at any moment during the game, I think the fact that New Mexico State will likely not get Auburn into a half-court game will play into Auburn's hands way too much for New Mexico State to overcome, and I definitely would lean to the favorite there. Although my buddy putting money on Bruce Pearl against Chris Jans and the thought of losing that game would probably cause me too many sleepless nights to make it worth it. But the line is definitely too low. So there you go.
This is great, Alan. Let's do one more here before the break.
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful.
It is. No, trust me. This is great. Vermont and Florida State.
If this is wonderful, I feel bad for the world.
No, the world loves this. Believe me. Vermont, Florida State. Leonard Hamilton against the Catamounts at Hartford. Florida State by 9 here on the line.
Yeah, I took 11 with Vermont. And, again, really kind of not a great matchup for Vermont. You beat Vermont with athleticism, and Florida State's got that in spades. And I don't mean that in any kind of I always say that because the world has gone haywire. I don't mean that in any kind of racist manner. That is meant to be a joke, by the way. Oh boy, we're gonna get in trouble now. It's a term, people. You know. That's what's wrong with the world right then and there.
It's okay. You've explained. Like you've explained yourself.
Anyway, so anyway, you got these a team loaded with athletes that gets up and down the floor as fast as any team in the country against Vermont, who is going to want to play a half court game. So who wins the tempo battle? Vermont's going to have a very hard time keeping this game under control. However, 2 years ago, a Vermont team played Purdue, and the game was an absolute war. Granted, Purdue's more prone to play half-court basketball, but they're also a better team than the Florida State team that Vermont's playing here tonight. And this Florida State team is pretty comparable. This Vermont team is pretty comparable to that Purdue team. So if you want to take a little parallel, they had Purdue in a lot of trouble in that game, and then their best player got hurt. And Purdue finally wore them down at the end. I think they won by 7 or 8. If Vermont stays healthy here and Leonard Hamilton's team does what they usually do, which is plays with a lot of holes in their game, Vermont could get what they want almost every time down the floor. And if that's the case, this game could go right for the wire. If Vermont panics with the athleticism that's thrown at them, then the game could get away from them in a hurry, or they could get worn out as the game went along. I think the former. I think Becker's a great coach, and that he'll find a way to his team's experienced enough and played enough tough venues to where they won't be overwhelmed by the athleticism that's shown here, and there's also a chance of Florida State can take them a little lightly too. So I'll take Vermont to possibly even pull the upset here. It wouldn't shock me if there was a 35-second clock for sure. This would be stealing money. But unfortunately, like I said, they put that 30-second clock in there to allow teams like Florida State not to lose to Vermont, and that's really the sad part of this whole thing. Not because I'm a gambler, because I'm a fan. You know, money is just a way of making your life a little easier. But you know, the real joys are watching a really good basketball game and watching that team pull the upset, and that doesn't happen anymore.
That's right.
Unfortunately,
it's a real joy for sure. So Yale, of the two bigger dogs that we talked about, Yale live to win it outright, in your opinion, Vermont a little less so, but possible.
Yeah, both possible, both not likely because that 30-second clock. But
yeah, okay.
I would say Yale is definitely the more likely the winner of the two. I could see LSU really falling off there. That the coach leading them is not the best.
Alan, do me one favor. Let's hang out one more break here. I apologize for commercials. It is radio. We'll come back. We'll do the rest of the morning session tomorrow. Four more games. Love your thoughts on this. It is the one and only Alan Boston right here exclusively on A Numbers Game at VSiN. Coming right back.
Support for today's show, as always, comes from bookmaker.eu. I've said it before. I will say it again because I mean it. Bookmaker.eu, an industry leader to close to 30 years. The three things that set them apart: they take the highest limits, they pride themselves on never having kicked out a winning player, and they're first to post odds. Never kicked out a winning player. Cannot stress that enough. Bookmaker, where the lines originate, that's their motto, because chances are where you're betting, they take their lines from Bookmaker. Just follow them. And right now, if you visit bookmaker.eu/gill, that's bookmaker.eu/GILL, you get an exclusive 100% welcome bonus of up to $300. Now, here's the deal on their big bracket contest. There are going to be two of them. Next week, there'll be a second chance bracket contest, Sweet 16, for $20 an entry. But this week, the 63-team bracket with a $1 million perfect bracket prize, $10,000 to the winner, $5,000 to second place, $2,500 prize for third, and with every completed bracket, getting a prize. Now, all players get a free entry, but you can purchase more at $10 each. All the details at bookmaker.eu/March-madness. That second chance bracket, if you crap out on this one, $20 an entry for the Sweet 16. That's next week. $5,000, $2,500, $1,000. Those are the first, second, and third prizes there. Again, every completed entry will win a prize. All the details for that one at bookmaker.eu/second-chance-bracket-contest. Good luck to you. $1 million perfect bracket over at bookmaker.eu/March-madness. And again, the bonus that you're looking for, bookmaker.eu/gill.
Back to A Numbers Game with your host, Gil Alexander, broadcasting live from our VSiN studios in Las Vegas.
Back on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN, Gil Alexander. Yesterday we did it bracket by bracket. Today we're just doing chronological order, beginning with the early games tomorrow. We're going to get through as many as we can, get through the whole morning session hopefully here. We continue with Alan Boston. Alan, love you for doing this, man. Thank you again, really. Appreciate it. And I speak
no
on behalf
problem.
Of everybody.
I made most of my bets, so it's not a big deal. The problem I had on the last time I was on your network was they asked me to go over games, and I hadn't bet yet. And
no, makes sense.
I can't give out games until I bet. It's just in case someone's listening who has some influence on the line. It'd just be stupid for me. I'm trying to earn a living, so
makes 100%
I don't mind
sense.
Doing this after, you know, pretty much after everything's done. I haven't been to Minnesota yet, but you know, as I was talking about it, it kind of made sense. My number on the Minnesota game was 4, so I wasn't going to take 5 or 5.5, but
I think Louisville might
have a little bit of a clinker. Really, Minnesota probably has more talent than them. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, Minnesota getting a lot of great free throw benefit over the weekend in the Big Ten tournament. If you look at the box scores in their games, they were just getting way more free throws than their opponents. We'll see if that trend continues here. Bradley, Michigan State. This is a 2-15, meaning a 2-seed, 15-seed game. Not relevant for our purposes here. But this is 18.5 right now in favor of the Spartans.
Yes, the line's a smidgen high, but Bradley was 21 down to Northern Iowa in the finals of the Missouri Valley. I don't need to say any more than that. I would never, ever... I think the line's a little high, but I would never bet Bradley. So,
all right,
pass for sure. I would expect this to be some sort of blow. The Valley is way down, and again, that's a function of the big money game, because both Creighton and Wichita, who were in the Valley for years, can't stay in the Valley and continue to get 10 and 11 seeds the way the committee had done it. I mean, there was one year Wichita State was a top 10 team in my rankings, and we're playing a play-in game. you know, that's how wrong they got it. And I'm not claiming to be the do-all, end-all, but if I have a team in the top 10, they're probably in the top 10. And, you know, yet they are playing some playing game. That's how wrong the committee can get it at times. And that's why Wichita State couldn't stay in the Missouri Valley. And so, you know, so the whole game of college basketball, which is, you know, Barry Hinson just retired from Southern Illinois, and he did it tearfully. And as he was talking about his love for the Valley, he broke down. Because that's the way basketball was when I was around. You took pride in your team. You took pride in your league. You were right on top of the court, really being mean to the opponent's teams. There was some wildly creative stuff done by I wasn't one of them, by the way. I just watched the game. But people could be pretty brutal. But it was fun. It was, you know, you're going to college. It's not a glorified NBA. And unfortunately, you know, I keep saying that, but that's the sad reality of what this is becoming until really someone puts their foot down and says, all right, you know, we're going to go back to the purity of this game. There's no more one and done. If you want to go to college, you're going to college. That's it. So you can go right to the pros. The only reason they have one and done is because they can promote them, right? Yeah. What do you hear about? Anytime you see anything, there's Zion Williamson. I mean, his sneaker blows up and it was the do-all, end-all. No one talked about how the hell does a sneaker blow up or then why does he get some special sneaker after that? You know, I mean, it's the whole thing's just, you know, it's ridiculous. That's sort of some sort of advantage. And by the way, why are they playing games? There's no other major event where there's playing games. Wimbledon has 128. They have qualifying rounds, but you could pretend the conference tournament is sort of the qualifying rounds. Wimbledon has 128. The top seeds get a benefit by playing a weaker player, but it's an equal number of wins for everyone in the thing.
Well, Alan, speaking of playing teams.
Any golf tournament has qualifiers, but they all play the same four rounds. The playing games were put in there to help, again, the big game schools. So the whole thing is a sham, but it's still a great sham.
Well, you teed me up for it because we land right on the Belmont game, then next in chronological order, Belmont, which dispatched Temple last night in the play-in game. They've got Maryland now out of the Big Ten. Hard to remember that Maryland's in the Big Ten. Maryland, 4-point favorites against Belmont. I'm guessing you're all over
Maryland's
Belmont.
Of course Maryland's in the Big Ten. Where else would they be?
Well, they were in the ACC my whole life up to this point. That's where they
were. No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole thing's just ridiculous. It's just, you know, poor West Virginia's in the Big 12. Like every coach tells Huggins, I don't know how you do it. Like we make one trip here. You guys got to do it 5 or 6 times a year. It's not fair to the kids. It really isn't. It's just, anyway, I'm not going to keep harping on that. I made my point. So it's kind of so Belmont, a little bit unfair that they have to play in Dayton and travel to Jacksonville on one day. And meanwhile, you know, Maryland's watching them play. So Maryland gets the benefit of being there and watching Belmont play their game. So their prep is a lot simpler and a lot better. Meanwhile, Belmont has to deal with travel and a much shorter prep for Maryland. Does that mean Maryland should be 4 over Belmont? I don't think so. Technically, the line should probably be closer to Pick or Maryland 1. The Belmont center was definitely hobbled last night, and it definitely affected his play somewhat, but he still had a huge game, and I would expect that treatment both tonight, tomorrow, and before the game will enable him to maybe play a little better. If not, they could be in a world of shit. They matched up very well with Temple. They do not match up well at all with Maryland. Maryland's probably going to kill them on the boards, and there were moments there where you could see Temple's athleticism causing Belmont some problems. So where am I going with this? I still am going to bet Ricky Bird against Mark Turgeon every day of the week. Temple actually defended Belmont fairly well, and Belmont still shot a high percentage because Bird always figures out a way to get it done. The fear is just Maryland just murders his team on the boards and gets a lot of freebies on putbacks, and eventually Belmont breaks from that. But Turgeon has failed miserably many a time in these situations, and the coaching edge is probably a little bit too big here, and I would definitely prefer Belmont plus 4.
That's where I thought you were
going. If all things were being equal, I'd be betting a lot on it. But, you know, with the center being a little hobbled and the travel and the prep time being a little less and the matchup not being that great, I would definitely temper the bet a little bit. So
Northeastern and Kansas right after that, Alan. Kansas highly overseeded here, I think, by most people's assessment. This opened at 8.
What a shock, huh?
Yeah, what a shock.
They've been overseeded for the last 30 years.
This opened at 8, and the betting public
it's
likes
the truth.
Northeastern.
I'm not kidding.
I know you're not.
I don't make this shit up.
I know you're not. No, I know you're not. It's very true. I'm laughing in agreement.
They go in there, and some teams just get an automatic pass, and that's it. However, they didn't do Kansas any favors here, I promise you that. This is a Kansas team that starts 4 freshmen. This is a Kansas team that was very, very erratic because of that. They still have elite athletes. However, Northeastern is deep, experienced, and there aren't many better coaches than Bill Cohn on the country. They run a very intricate offense, the likes of which Kansas hasn't seen. Bill Self is a good guy. I love listening to him. I think he kind of gets it. However, his coaching is a little shaky, maybe not even that good. It's a complete coaching mismatch. The talent gap is pretty big for Kansas. However, it's an experienced Northeastern team against a freshman-laden Kansas team. And I think Kansas is going to have a hell of a time stopping Northeastern's offense, which is really beautiful to watch. Very good chance at the upset here. I know it's kind of what's the word that when everyone kind of falls on the same.
Oh,
pick.
Yeah. Sort of a darling pick by too many people sort of worries you.
That's not the word I was thinking of, but you know, my CAT scan didn't come back good. So this could be a sign of things to come, unfortunately.
No, don't say that.
No, don't laugh. It's the truth.
Yeah. Don't say that.
Yeah. So if I'm a babbling idiot next year, you know that the Alzheimer's has kicked in. Anyway, it's a darling pick, whatever the word is that I can't think of at this time, which is really kind of shitty. So, let me try to block that thought. Anyway, I didn't bet this game because the line really is, you really ain't getting nothing here. What would Kansas Northeastern typically be? And you're only getting 6.5, so you ain't getting shit here. But it'll be a fun game to watch, and we'll see how the referees can bail Kansas out because they've done that before, and they'll probably have to do it again.
I can already see that.
Because they're going to have a really hard time stopping Northeastern here. Northeastern got completely healthy at the end of the year for the first time all year. They've been banged up all year. They finally got every single body back, including Osseous, their best defender, and kind of a glue guy for them. This is a really, really good team. They toyed with Hofstra in the finale. You saw what Hofstra, should have beaten NC State last night, or could have beaten NC State last night.
Yeah.
So, this is a very good Northeastern team, and not a great Kansas team, and it's young versus old, and it's Bill Self versus Bill Cohn, and interesting enough, it's Bill in 4 letters versus Bill in 4 letters. How do you like that? Symmetry reigns, and opposites also reign, and I would definitely. Enjoy watching this game without a bet and expect Northeastern to have a good shot to win.
All right, little sit-out game for you there. Let's do one more because when we're talking about a darling pick or an in-vogue pick, a popular pick is what we're getting at here. And I too am...
Popular is probably the word I was thinking of.
The word is eluding me. I think there is something else we're looking for. But
there is something else I'm missing.
Murray State Marquette. Everybody on Murray State, I'm on Murray State, but I have said out loud here, Alan, it worries me that everybody's on Murray State. This is down to 3.5 here at the South Point, but it's 4 consensus in favor of the Golden Eagles right now in this game, John Morant and Murray State, the Dogs.
Well, the reason I think the line is dropping, is the health of Marquette. Right. They had a 12-point lead against Seton Hall, and Marcus Howard hurt his wrist, and the lead quickly disappeared. He came out in the second half and was completely useless. The money coming in on Murray State would indicate that Marcus Howard's wrist is probably not there yet. I've only had a little bit of wrist problems that took a shot and it took a few days off. That's just from working out, though, not from shooting a basketball 150,000 times. I doubt that he'll be 100% for this. And if not, Marquette's offense is in serious jeopardy of collapsing. They did a complete collapse against Seton Hall without this kid. Finley Prep guy, right?
Yep.
Marcus Howard?
Mm-hmm.
I won't comment on the fact that there's no such thing as Finley Prep because I was yelled at for that. Anyway, the so all that money coming in is likely the health of Howard being less than 100%, and that's it. If he's 100%, the line is too low for sure. Marquette had a fantastic year this year with a lot of really big wins and impressive wins. But you know, Morant is a freak. He has the ball in his hands for 40 minutes, really makes a wrong decision. The talent surrounding him isn't overwhelming, but it's good enough. Wojciechowski is another Coach K assistant who isn't any kind of genius at all. And with Howard being a little iffy and maybe more than that, that's probably the whole thing. If he's 100%, I don't think Murray State can beat him. But if he's iffy at all, then Murray State probably will beat him. Either way, you get to watch Morant play basketball, which is it's a pretty special thing to watch.
Really is.
So, yeah.
Okay.
I'm not involved, but I'm not surprised that the money's coming in on Murray State.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on Marcus Howard for sure there with that injury. Alan, listen, we've run out of time today.
Oh, wow. Sorry, I would have talked a little faster.
No, that's okay. I'm going to ask you something now, which you are and let me just preface it by saying it's wrong of me to ask this on air. You are perfectly allowed to say, no, absolutely not, or I don't know, and no one should get mad at you. Would you have any interest in doing this? Would you have any interest in doing this for the Friday morning shows, for the Friday morning games tomorrow morning on the show?
No, I don't mind.
Okay.
I don't mind. I mean, I don't know is an honest answer. I didn't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I had an offer from Sports Illustrated. Did you want me to tell you that on the air? No, I didn't want anyone to know that. It's none of anyone's business.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know means I don't know. I don't know what else is supposed to say when I'm not sure what I'm doing with my life.
Yeah.
I was dealing with I'm dealing with a whole new situation in my life, and I don't have my dog anymore, and I was having a very good year in basketball. I didn't know what I was going to do, even if I was even going to finish the year. I really didn't. I was losing my mind. So you didn't want to hear about me having breakdowns over a dog dying.
No, we
so
don't.
I had no idea if I was going to finish the year out. None.
Well,
so I didn't know if I'd be able to do the show. So that was the honest answer.
Yeah. No, we appreciate
so
that.
So if one fucking idiot wants to get on Twitter and start commenting, who happens to be a piece of shit anyway, and start this whole brouhaha over it. It was one person. I crack called me and told me there was one person that started the whole thing.
Yeah.
And he's not well-liked in the industry anyway. He's a real beauty. He's a piece of shit.
Oh.
All the years I worked for Mr. Walters, Mr. Walters only complained about one person, that person who started all this nonsense over the I don't know. So there you go, people.
Alan, let's do this again.
I'm never going to start any bullshit. No, I don't mind coming on and doing the show. I don't mind at all.
Okay. Let's do it again tomorrow morning.
It's just I don't ever lie on any of these shows. I just anything I say is just take it for what it is, because that's what it is. It's
all
the
right.
truth.
Alan, love you for
all
it.
Right?
Let's talk tomorrow morning. We'll do Friday morning games tomorrow morning. We'll talk same time tomorrow.
Very good. Take care. Thanks.
My man, Alan Boston, at BostonRed88 on Twitter, an American original. We really appreciate him coming on the show and giving his insights, really special insights when it's from that guy. He'll be very modest about it when he talks about it, but really, honestly, getting insights from him on college basketball is very special. We should be privileged, or we should know how fortunate we are to have that.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.